My thought is having my own righteousness. Tonight, we want to look into the Word. We want to see what the righteousness of God is. When we leave this world, we don't want to leave here with our own righteousness. We're going to have the righteousness of God, or we will not be enter into His heaven. There are many people today walking around being satisfied with their own righteousness. You can talk to them about the Lord, and they'll have something to say. Something like, the Lord knows me. You know, the Lord and I got it together, or something like that. And yet, living in sin and unrighteousness, it's not going to happen. It's being deceived. Many people are being deceived, having their own righteousness, not the righteousness of God, but having their own righteousness. So we don't want to allow the enemy to deceive us tonight. I'm going to need somebody to... I'll call out scriptures to find the scriptures for me. Let's go to Philippians 3 and 7 and read to the 9th verse.
But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and to count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith.
Amen. So Paul, his righteousness was that of the law. No doubt, and I believe the scripture might verify this, no doubt he was taught of the law, the Jewish traditions and all these things. And he was very, I want to say devout, but not devout. He was very zealous for what he knew and what he thought was right.
Yes, that's true.
But when he met Jesus on Damascus Road, he found out the true righteousness of God. And from that day to the day he died, he held on to it. You know, we can be taught wrong. We can be taught certain things is okay to do. We can be taught and raised the wrong way when it comes to the things of God.
Right.
But when we meet face to face with Jesus and he reveals himself to us, we are going to be responsible for Jesus. We can no longer continue in the way we were going because we were taught it, because we believed it, because we think it. We have to abandon it.
Amen.
And take on Jesus Christ, the true righteousness of God. Let's go to Romans 7 and 7. It's a serious thing because so many people are dying, lost, and without God, and thinking it's okay. It's okay to do this. It's okay to drink. As long as you don't get drunk. It's okay to smoke. It's okay to commit adultery and ask God to forgive. We're all sinners, they say. And some of them sinners saved by grace. But no. When you meet with Jesus, you're going to have to abandon the sin business. None of all of these things is going to stand in the judgment. We are facing eternity.
Yes,
I heard somebody pray tonight that we're in the last days, something like that. If we look at the world condition, if we look at all the things that's happening,
yes.
that what did it say? Earthquakes in diverse places.
Yes.
Wickedness on every hand.
Right.
People destroying other people. I just heard recently, I know the girl, but the mother was missing, and they found her. And the sad thing, somebody had, she was in a bag, I think. Somebody had destroyed her life. People are so violent, and they will destroy life. And then just last week, this is in Honduras. A man that I know, his brother, and his girlfriend, they shot him, both of them. They both died. It's so much violence happening.
Yes,
it's very serious. We need to take life serious.
Amen.
You know, we need to put away all the foolishness.
Amen.
You know, we in Alabama, we were burdened about idols. There's idols. These phones and tablets and TV and all these things are idols. And people have our minds are so caught up in all of this stuff till God can't hardly deal with them because their senses are being numbed because of it. Oh, it is serious. Life is serious. Let's put away the foolishness and take on, do all we can to prepare to meet our God.
Yes.
We don't want to be found in Him having our own righteousness, saying, oh, it's okay. It's okay to do this. Well, God sees me. He knows me. He doesn't want me to be sad. He wants me to be happy. All of these excuses that people make to do sin. And then when they face the God Almighty, it's going to be a disappointment. It's going to be a sad time. Read Romans 7:7.
What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet.
Keep reading.
But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead.
Keep going, I tell you.
For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, worketh death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I.
Oh, my God.
Okay, you can stop there. You see what a condition Paul was in.
Yes.
This is what he was under. This was his own righteousness, the righteousness of the law. The law could not, it could only go so far. We could get forgiveness, but we couldn't keep from sinning. And that's what he was in.
Oh,
but then when he met Jesus,
yes,
he found out that he could live free from sin.
That's right.
The law wasn't sinful. It showed what sin was. But that law dispensation could not keep people from sinning.
That's
and therefore, God sent Jesus as his only begotten Son to die on the cross, to that we may be forgiven for sin, that we may live a better life, that we can have a new life in Christ. And he was resurrected from the dead, and so we have a different plan. God has, the law is no longer acceptable. We can't go back and live under the law again. It is not acceptable because of Jesus. Jesus has paid the price. We don't have to live like this, where I want to live right, but I can't live right because sin is, I'm sold under sin. No, because of Jesus, we can now say, live free from sin. We can have the righteousness of God, and we can walk in newness of life. We can live a holy life before God. So we cannot go back to that. Paul couldn't go back to that. We cannot go back to that and accept that law dispensation. We must accept Jesus. Jesus is our Savior. He is our way. Let's go to Romans 8 and read 1 and 2.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death.
So now we don't have to be under condemnation. There is no excuse for us to live like that anymore. So we who are saved have passed from death unto life. We have a new life now, and we don't have to live that old life, and we can be just like Paul. He forsook the old life, he counted all as dumb. Yes, I was raised like that, he could have said. Yes, I believe that. Yes, that was what I was taught and what I lived under. But I found out that Jesus Christ came and he died for my sins, and I can be delivered, and I don't have to live like that anymore. I am no longer going to back to that. I'm going to hold fast because I don't want to have my own righteousness, which was of the law, but the righteousness of God, which is by Christ Jesus. So in St. John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. I have a friend in Honduras that talked to me. I might have told you that. She was in a religion, and then she came out and started coming with the saints. But she had a lot of persecution, kind of, from her family. In some of these religions, they excommunicate you if you leave them. Yeah. So she left them for a period of time. And to them, no doubt, they say, you left the truth, you see. And they want you to come back to the truth. But Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Yes.
And of course, we know, and I know from what she described, it was not true. They kind of worship man type thing. And so, but she couldn't stay there. She ended up going back. And it's kind of a sad story to me. But when we know Jesus and when we know the truth, we need to hold on to the truth.
Yes.
Don't give up no ground. Don't go back. Hold to the truth we already know and stand on it. Don't let anything else take our minds away from it. Many, many people, do you know if all the people that have been in Wichita and been saved were here tonight, they're still living, I believe this whole place would be filled up. But people do not hold to the truth. They get a deception. They begin to go their own way and begin to say, make excuses for not doing what the Word of God says. But you know, the only way that we're going to have the righteousness of God is that we must obey God. We must not take an alternate way. Let's go to Romans 10 and read verses 1 through 4. Sometimes people say, if you do this, it's going to make life easier for you. Tell, I would not stay with that man. No, you can get you another. You can get somebody better than him. Having my own way. That's an easier way. No. We must do what the Word of God says in order to make it to heaven. Do you know, no one has a heaven for us. Not my family, not my friends, no one. God only. And the only way we're going to go to his heaven is by going what he said in Thus Says the Word of God.
Amen.
Not somebody's book they wrote, not somebody's idea, but thus says the Word of God.
Amen.
That's the only thing that's going to take us to heaven. Sometimes we might say, well, you know, I know the Word says this, but I think it's okay to do it another way. I think it's not going to hurt to do just a little bit of this, that, and the other.
No, Lord.
It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt in the end. So we must be faithful to doing what he says in his word. Romans 10, 1 through 4.
Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Mm. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Yep. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth.
So we must submit to the righteousness of God.
That's right. Amen.
If we want to be saved. We might think that we're happy here. This life that I'm doing is happy here. But when we first face our mortality, it needs to line up with the Word of God. I had a thought about someone I knew, and I was teaching in Florida, and I was a part of the teachers' union, and the president and the vice president had done something that they shouldn't have done. But the vice president got sick. And he realized that he was facing eternity.
Yes.
So he revealed something that they had kept from all of us. And it got the president in trouble and all that. But I was thinking, why did he change? Why did he reveal it? Because he was facing God. He was facing his eternity. Do you know, even though we might be healthy and we might be walking and everything, we're still going to face our eternity. And we need to live each day like we're going to face God today. And so that made a change in him. He was trying to get things ready for death. And we need to do the same. We don't need to take life so light. We may be young and look like everything going, but you know, within a moment's time, we could be gone, young and old. Let's go now to Luke 18. Verse 9 through 14. Do you know those people that trust in their own righteousness? They're going to be disappointed in the end. Everything may be happy and look like we're everything's joyful now, but we don't want to be fooled. We don't want to be deceived. Because God is looking at our lives.
Yes.
He's seeing whether what we have is what is His. He's coming back for His. We need to have His righteousness, not our own.
That's true.
Let's go to, start at verse 9.
And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Mm. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Mm-hmm. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other.
Yes.
For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted.
Do you see what he did? He had some good stuff he was saying. Yeah. He fasted twice in the day. He gives tithes and all this, but he wasn't justified before God. God saw something in his heart. You know, we can do a lot. Give a lot. Do a lot of good things.
Yes.
But if sin lies at the door, like he told Cain, it's not acceptable. We don't want to be disappointed. We don't want to do all kinds of good things for God and not be accepted. We will be accepted if we obey His word, if we do His what He tells us to do. Now let's go now to Matthew 7 and 13 and 14.
Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it.
It's a whole lot of people. There's two ways. The straight gate, the narrow way, and the broad way. Sometimes, you know, you ever have children say, well, Mom, so-and-so is doing it. I don't know why I can't do it.
Yeah.
The broad way. Many people going that way. Mm-hmm. Well, I know a whole lot of people that do that, Mom. And you just too strict. You ever had that? Yeah. That's what children think. But we're trying to train them in the narrow and the straight way.
That's right.
The way that leads to heaven. The broad way does not lead to heaven. It leads to destruction. So, you children in here, don't look at your parents like they're too strict. Be thankful to have strict parents. Because they're trying to lead you to heaven. You know,
yes.
You're not guaranteed 50 years. One scripture says that we're given 70 and if by reason of strength 80. You may be given that. You may not be given that.
That's right.
So if you will follow the straight and the narrow way, you can be sure of heaven. Because you know, in eternity, one day is as 1,000 years. So we might, if we live like I've lived to 79. Okay, 79 years. That's hardly a beginning when it comes to eternity.
Lord help.
You know, we old and all that. That's hardly nothing compared to eternity. So we don't want to miss eternity. We don't want to miss going to heaven. So it's very important that we stay on the straight and the narrow way.
Yep.
Don't try to make excuse to do wrong, because it's not going to work. It might make you feel better here, but when you face eternity, it won't help one bit. All right, let's go now to John 10, and read verses 1 to 4.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Mm-hmm. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Mm-hmm. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Mm-hmm. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice.
Amen. There is only one way. I've heard people say, you know what? We're all going the same way. You ever heard that? If you talk to people, oh, you this, and you believe that, and I believe the other, and we're all going the same way. Mm. Not so. There is one way. Jesus is the way. If we don't go by Jesus, we're not making it. Matthew 7, 21 and 23.
Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
See here, haven't we done this? Haven't I prophesied? We can do great things. There are people working miracles. But if there's iniquity in that person, the Lord won't even hear you. So we don't want to do all these good things and think they're going to get us to heaven. It's not wrong to do good things, but we need to make sure that our heart is right with God.
Yes.
Now I want to read verse 24.
Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock.
Keep going.
And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall.
What a disappointment. You built this house, and you feel like it's going to stand. Then when the rains came and the floods blew, it fell not, because you weren't doing what God said in his word. You know, we must do what he says in his word, regardless of what I think or anybody else think or how I feel or anyone else feel. We must do his commandments. If we do his commandments, our house won't fall. No matter how things go, how terrible it is, how hard it is, it won't fall. You know, Paul, he said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. His voice is laid up for me, a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. You see, he built his house on the rock. He stayed with the Lord's righteousness and not his righteousness. So at the end, he had a crown. There's a crown awaiting for us, if we will be faithful and true until the end. And I have one more scripture I want us to read, and I want us to think about it. Galatians 5 and 19. These are the things that people do and feel justified in.
Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
You see, doing those kind of things and feeling like you're going to get by with is having your own righteousness.
That's right.
And they shall not inherit eternal life. Sarah, come here. Get your marker and put a big X over all of that. We do not want to have our own righteousness. When we go to heaven, when we leave this world, we want an X over that and have the righteousness of God. Pray for me.